This past week saw the long inevitable finally happen as Russia launched an invasion of Ukraine. The immediate reactions have ranged from outrage over the act to concern for the people of Ukraine. So what's next? Where are things going to be headed next? Where's Russia headed next, actually? Is there a price to pay that's even too expensive for Vladimir Putin? Here to help us better understand this very fluid situation is a foreign policy fellow with the Independent Women's Forum, who previously was with the Wall Street Journal, where she served as Moscow bureau chief. She's also a contributor to outlets including New York Times, Forbes, Weekly Standard, among others. We say good morning to Claudia Rosette. How are you today?
I'm fine, thanks, although the world scene is not. How are you?
I think fluid was my understatement for the day. You can follow Claudia, by the way, on Twitter, at C Rosette, R-O-S-E-T-T. And we had that link under her name, too, when you look at our schedule at our homepage on the website. Just to start with the basic, because I think this is something, as I said, it was the long-awaited and long-inevitable, and it's come to pass. And there's probably some casual viewers of all this out there. So for that casual viewer of all this, why should America and Americans care about what happens in and to Ukraine?
Because you want a world in which predatory dictators like Putin stay in their box. Because this is upending. The basic understanding that countries do not, barring some attack on them, in some major attack, some real provocation, and this is not real, do not invade their neighbors, do not chew off chunks of territory, do not simply grab whatever turf they think they can get away with. Once you get that as the way the international order, such as it is, works, you are into a real law of the jungle, and it's coming for us.
The other day I was listening to the Russian foreign minister give the Putin version of what's been happening this past week, and I don't know why, I was having Baghdad Bob flashbacks all of a sudden.
Yeah, although Baghdad Bob was something of a joke. I mean, he was a clown. Vladimir Putin is a very canny guy. I've been watching the thing where, you know, we're seeing all these attacks on people on the right who have said Putin is smart, or President Trump calling him a genius. I don't think that that's praise. It's talking about Putin in the sense that he is extremely adept at this kind of thing. He was trained by the KGB as a foreign intelligence officer. He spent years studying us, how to manipulate us, how to bully and threaten and intimidate us. He has an arsenal of tactics from way back that are really horrible. You know, you've seen his enemies die by poisoning with polonium-210 in a teapot, Novichok nerve agent, hailing shot, and so on. And he is now pursuing this because he wants to, he said it, and I believe him. He sees it as his mission to reassemble the old Russian Empire, minus the waste and inefficiencies of communism, but quite brutal and ruthless, as we're seeing right now. And if he gets away with this, you've been hearing this a lot, but because it's true. Xi Jinping, with whom he signed a joint statement effectively declaring a new world order, that's what they basically said, at the opening of when Putin went to Beijing to attend the opening of the Olympics, is on a similar path. He wants to dominate the world order. He's looking at Taiwan, and there's a window of real danger here. This is the reason Americans should care, bottom line, is look to the 1930s, where the great democracies of the world watched as Hitler moved into Austria and sort of step by step began taking territory one way or another, until finally he sent tanks into Poland and we had World War II, which took years to win.
And Stalin pretty much waited his turn for Hitler to fall, and guard was down, and Stalin did the work that he did.
I worry about this. There were echoes in the joint statement. And Xi and Putin have been putting out joint statements for a while, for years now. They've been holding joint military exercises. They've been cutting business deals. They've been met at least 20 times. They've got a real partnership going, even if they're natural enemies. It is horribly reminiscent of the Molotov-Ribbentrop Pact, where Hitler and Stalin signed a deal not to aggress against each other with secret protocols carving up the spoils of Europe. Now, in this case, it's Russia and China, the communist China. and they may well turn on each other, but I think not soon enough. Right now, I think we're seeing something where they have, I'm guessing here, but I will make the guess, they've worked out a sequencing. Putin wants to take Taiwan. She wants to take Taiwan. Putin is now in Ukraine. And America is under a weak president, under the president who brought us that humiliating retreat from Afghanistan, is talking on and on about how we're united, which we're actually not, and putting on sanctions that are not, didn't, have not deterred and will not deter anything here. So this is a not a good scene. Something needs to turn this around.
What's the challenge? It looks like, well, us, and I guess you could say Biden might be trying to build an economic coalition, much like the first President Bush built a military coalition for the first Gulf War. They're looking short-term. Putin's looking long-term. Okay, yeah, it's going to be rough right now. I saw the stock market crash and the ruble crash and et cetera, et cetera. But he's looking 5 years ahead, and you know there's got to be a – this isn't spur of the moment making up as he goes along. He's got every plot, no. Every step plotted and planned. But, you know, it's – Putin's playing chess, Biden's playing checkers. Would that be a fair
– Oh, Biden is playing I don't know what Biden is playing. Biden is playing marbles. It's, and Putin is certainly playing chess. He's had years to plan this. 8 years ago, he annexed Crimea from Ukraine. President Obama, who then was desperate to keep Russia at the table for his horrible Iran nuclear deal, spluttered and scolded and put on sanctions, but not enough to stop anything. Putin kept Crimea, and under Trump, I think he was actually deterred. President Trump, whatever you think of him, was somebody just unpredictable and at the same time tough enough so that I don't think Putin wanted to risk whatever Trump might do. Trump was the guy who took out Soleimani as he was leaving office in the Middle East, who dealt with ISIS in Syria, who welcomed Xi Jinping to Mar-a-Lago in 2017 with a slice of chocolate cake for dessert and informed him while they were eating it that he had just sent Tomahawk missiles into Syria. That's a deterrent. When President Biden talks about putting together a coalition, the question to ask is, a coalition to do what? We're sending 7,000 troops to Germany. What's their mission? Germany is not in danger right now. Germany is buying gas from the Russians and has agreed for the moment to delay activating this Nord Stream 2 gas pipeline from Russia. But they could reopen that any time. I predict they will at some point. They're already buying gas from Russia. They've already got an active pipeline. And they have been, by various accounts, watering down the sanctions. The sanctions themselves, some of them, when you start looking into the details, they sound really ferocious. They're not. Here's a for instance. Biden announced that they were sanctioning the biggest, this huge savings bank in Russia, Sberbank. Well, if you look back, Sberbank made it on the beginning of February. As you say, Putin's been planning this for a long time. A lot of pieces are in place. Sberbank launched a mobile money transfer facility with China. So you can now transfer money from between Russia and China on your phone from Sberbank, which means that the U.S. sanctions aren't going to affect that. And they have a lot of business they can do together. So we're looking at a country. Russia is really good at getting around sanctions. I've been following that for years. And they're excellent at that. When they sanction the elite, they sanction these tycoons. The way that works is the tycoon talks with Aunt Olga, who calls her second cousin Boris, who has a connection which will set up the account under some front company, and on it goes. And we chase these things down, but the metrics really aren't with us. And sanctions erode over time. And if you look at the fight, this is a gunfight right now, a very terrible one. When Russia sends in the army, the military, they tend to be brutal. They're not big on precision targeting to spare collateral damage. And what they're doing in Ukraine is awful.
Well, wasn't a perfect example of what you just said, what happened on Snake Island, which was a pretty much a meaningless piece of land off the coast of Ukraine, and the Russian troops just And there's no residents, no Ukrainians. It was staffed by some military people, and they were all killed.
Yes, that is exactly. And they're doing that. Part of that is a message. The message is you don't resist, you don't do anything, you buckle under. And it's a message beyond Putin is trying to send beyond Snake Island, beyond Ukraine, to any place he covets, and to us. Note that he threatened these consequences you have not even imagined for anyone who tried to get in his way. People are wondering, does he mean nuclear weapons? Russia has a lot of them and has been developing hypersonic missiles, which are basically meant, the point of those is to defeat our air defenses. And it's interesting. The Biden and his officials keep saying, well, you know, Putin is going to, his reputation will suffer. You know, he's going to be held responsible for this, and people will see him for what he is.
He doesn't care.
Consider, he wants to be seen for what he is. He wants to be seen as somebody where when he walks into the room, you're scared. He's perfectly happy if people want to love him. They put out propaganda narratives. But the real message is, and it's clear, it's the way he's dealt with enemies for years and years, is you cross him, you will really suffer. That's the message he's certainly broadcasting right now.
And we've talked about here in the show with other people, too. It could be a death sentence going against Putin.
Yeah, and at the same time, that's exactly why it's vital to stop him. That's precisely where you wanted. We should have drawn the line with Crimea. We should have drawn the line way before this happened. The fact that this is happening is a truly terrible thing. This is a landmark event in a really horrific way. And it is it's shifting the rules of how things work in the world. It's shifting them to the benefit of predators like Xi Jinping in China, of the Ayatollahs in Iran who are closing on the nuclear bomb if they don't have it already. This is something where, you know, what President Reagan did was he stepped into that kind of trajectory and stopped it. He engaged in an arms race that the old Soviet Union did not have the efficiency to win. He took the risk of standing up to them. He took the risk of, you know, in this case, we see President Biden has been, you know, putting out the Russian playbook. Fine. But unless you have a strategy to defeat that, and what you're doing is basically, okay, we're now familiar with the Russian playbook. We know that it was a pretext when Putin created these faux people's republics inside Ukraine, as if the world needs more people's republics, right?
Yes.
Yeah. We know that that was a pretext. We understand that. We know that. But that won't stop a gun. It's not in this situation. It takes much more. And at some point, President Biden keeps saying we will send no troops to fight Russians in Ukraine, that is something where even if he doesn't plan to send them, even if that's the best decision, you can debate that. But do we fight outside NATO at this point? Even if that's the best decision, and I'm not convinced, you don't say it. You don't hand Putin the gift of telling him that if he brings in Russians with guns into Ukraine, American troops won't be there because we won't fight Russians with guns.
You don't win by reacting. You win by getting ahead of your opposition. We're wrapping up our time with Claudia Rosette, who is a foreign policy fellow with the Independent Women Forum. IWF.org is their website here on issues and ideas. Looking forward, because some could actually make the argument, Ukraine is, the army's fighting, but they're well outnumbered. And they've armed the people in the streets, but going door to door, arms versus arms, again, that's a coin toss at best. Some would make the argument Ukraine is going, soon to be gone. As Putin moves further west, what does NATO, and especially what does Poland do?
Well, former Secretary of State Pompeo, I think it was last night, and maybe it was former National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien. I missed that team. It was an excellent team. Was saying we should move the troops that are now, NATO, U.S. troops that are now in Germany with NATO. What are they doing in Germany? Germany is buddies with the Russians, and they don't need, you know, they're not. Move them, move our troops to the front line. And, you know, the phrase I've heard was make a ring of steel along the edge of NATO. So Putin knows he'll have to tangle with that. I think at this point it will take even more. President Biden has squandered so much credibility. The essence of deterrence is you must be credible when you threaten to use force. And then you hope that your enemy backs down because he believes you and he doesn't want that. We're not credible right now. After the scene at the Kabul airport was a devastating body blow to American credibility. And what we're doing right now is making it worse. The sort of endless talk of severe and swift sanctions, which then became severe and firm, and sanctions are not enough anyway. What we should be doing, one of the most useful things that President Biden could do would be, as you're also hearing, open up American energy. It would hurt Putin because Russia's economy depends on exporting oil and gas. They're on the top in the world for that. And he's making a fortune out of this whole thing.
Sure, riding between $110 a barrel right now, sure.
Yeah, what it would do, that's something where, unlike sanctions, which tend to erode, become hard to enforce, people cheat, all sorts of... The thing about energy production is we open that up, and it's great for the economy. It will help you with your pocketbook. It will hurt Putin. It's good in every important sense for American security. I mean, it's possible that one of the most useful things we could do right now is tell John Kerry to put a sock in it and go retire. He's running around the capitals of the world right now telling them that they need to cut emissions, you know, our allies, we need to cut emissions, and America needs to cut emissions, and so on. This is an immediate, urgent, and real crisis for security. And the idea that we're sort of trading away all that in hope of fine-tuning the climate of the planet but to, you know, 0.5 degrees centigrade difference in 100 years is someday that will be remembered as a superstition, as on a level, I think, with witchcraft. So it's we have a real war going on right now. And if this Russia, there's every sign that Russia is going to, they may find resistance, they're finding real resistance right now, but they will take Ukraine. And we have to stop this. Putin will not stop until we stop him, and Xi Jinping, same story, who right now, he's planning a triumphal trip down to Hong Kong, which he is eviscerating in July to celebrate the 21st anniversary of the British handover to China. That is a message about the triumphal People's Republic of China, which wants to grab Taiwan, and none of this stops there. So it's a very interesting and a very, very dangerous moment in the world, and it would be a good thing if the Biden administration would stop going on about being unified when actually they're having real problems with Germany and figure out what they can do to truly restore American credibility, not just send Kamala Harris to pronounce it at a conference in Munich.
And you mentioned Iran before, just to add to the entire adventure, looking at long range, perhaps, I'm sure, just like China's looking at everything and peering over Taiwan, I'm sure Iran's looking at everything and peering over at Israel right now.
You bet. Exactly. I mean, this is truly a time of danger. And the idea that President Biden is saying, well, we put more sanctions on Russia and we'll see how they're working in a month. Ukraine doesn't have a month.
No,
it's possible other places don't either.
No, Ukraine might not have this coming week, if you want to be totally grim about it, but honest and accurate about it. But as they say, to be continued. You can follow along with Claudia's expertise on Twitter at C Rosette, R-O-S-E-T-T. She's also a foreign policy fellow with the Independent Women's Forum. IWF.org is their website. Claudia Rosette, thank you for your expertise, your insight, and for being here today.
Thank you so much.